You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You've seen the YouTube videos, the dog destroying the couch cushions, the cat stalking and terrorizing its feline housemates. They seem funny enough until you realize these pets aren't enjoying themselves and they aren't being mischievous. They're stressed out and acting out. They're also reaching out for help in the only way they know how. Life seems pretty cushy if you're one of the estimated 75 million dogs and 85 million cats in the United States. But what would make a pet stressed? What are the signs? Are there long-term consequences of being a wigged-out Westie? What can you do about it? My guest is Brian McLaughlin. He will answer these questions and reveal how a nutraceutical may make your anxious Abyssinian purr. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's dinner time in America, where more pet parents trust PetSmart for natural and expert-recommended foods than any place else. And now, we've added more than 100 new varieties to our already wide selection of your favorite brands, like Simply Nourish, Authority, Wellness, Science Diet, and more. Do what's best for your pet. At PetSmart, happiness in store.
Go to PetSmartDeal.com to find out this week's coupon code and save up to 30% on food, treats, toys, and more. And get free shipping on orders of $49. Go to PetSmartDeal.com, PetSmartDeal.com.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. McLaughlin, thank you very much for being with us. Give us a little background about who you are and who you're working with.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Cruz. I'm a veterinarian. I work for Vetoquinol USA. We are a manufacturer of veterinary pharmaceuticals only, not on the human side. My position with the company is technical services. I provide technical support to our salespeople out in the field. I also do training, do lectures for veterinary clinics, veterinarians and whatnot on products, diseases throughout the U.S., basically the Western U.S.
And your company has come up with a very interesting product. And I have to admit, I met with you, you gave me the background of it, and I thought, wow, this is something that veterinary clients really need. And it's all about pet behavior. Why is it that it seems like, okay, you have that pet that's being a little bit naughty at home and maybe it's destroying things? How common are pet behavior problems? I think I see quite a bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, whether we are, you know, looking for it or not, I think, you know, owners are always concerned with this, whether they bring it up in an exam or not. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, behavior in pets is sometimes, like you said, not easily to recognize. So it's something that we need to be concerned with and really looking out for those, you know, just subtle signs of abnormal behavior that an owner may think is a normal behavior in their pet.
I was reading that the American Animal Hospital Association and the American Veterinary Medical Association, as veterinarians, and sometimes we forget about it, and I know I have to force myself, there's so much you're looking at in examination, maybe it's just their once a year wellness exam, they're coming in, looking at this pet and going, okay, itching, biting, scratching, vomiting, diarrhea, and I always have to step back a little bit going, are there any behavioral issues that are of concern? Because you're right, many times people don't bring it up, or they just go, oh, it was a rescue, or oh, it was abused when it was a puppy or a kitten. But what are some of the things that people will see? What are some of the most common behavioral issues?
Yeah. And, you know, getting back to, you know, just behavior like we were talking about, I mean, I think owners are looking for some answers and looking at veterinarians for the source of information for the behavior in their pet. And you mentioned the AHA and AVMA. You know, there are preventative healthcare guidelines that they recommend. And you know, one of those is a behavior evaluation in the exam, whether it's just a general exam or not. Some of the most common things that I think that are seen, and you can attest to this as well, is certainly separation anxiety is extremely common, especially in our dog friends. Noise, fears, and phobias as well. A little difference between the fears and phobias. If we have time, we can go into that, but that can be explained by your veterinarian as well. Certainly aggression is one that is extremely common and very dangerous as well, so we want to be adept at that. Cognitive dysfunction, or what we would probably in human medicine call dementia. Certainly urinary tract disease in cats has a behavior component to it, and I think we all can agree with that. And then last but not least, stress and anxiety, which I think is more common than what we recognize in our pets, and something that we really need to be cognizant of.
Especially that stress and anxiety, separation anxiety. This morning I actually received an email from a client, and she says, isn't this just so funny? And it is one of these internet photos, looks like a German short hair pointer, just destroyed the blinds. I didn't know if you were ever coming back. And what's sad is that, you know, you and I or someone looking at this going, oh, ha, ha, isn't that funny? In reality, those pets are really having panic attacks. And if you've ever known anyone with a panic attack, it is just horrid. What are some of the signs that you could see if a pet is having a stress or a panic attack situation? What are the signs externally?
Externally, yeah. I mean, you can see a variety of things, but just like you said, you know, destroying stuff in the home, you know, eating through a door, you know, it could be also as little as maybe they're licking excessively at their leg and causing a sore. So really a lot of, you know, in my opinion, destructive behaviors, they're just trying to get some attention and to say, hey, you know, something is going on here. And that's the only way that they really know how to do it.
And it's just so interesting because these external signs, you know, everything from, yes, you know, chewing on things, chewing on themselves, excessive barking, you know, you have that neighbor's dog that's barking all the time and you just want to wring its little neck. And then when you bring it to the owner's attention, go, oh, I didn't know. Or, yeah, you know, I knew it was barking, but now I'm just going to have a debark surgery done, or I'm going to get a shock collar. And that's not the answer. Sometimes there are things that can be done. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to take some time. They see these external signs of a pet being stressed. But in the intro, I was saying that oftentimes it can cause problems internally. So, Dr. McLaughlin, what are those signs that we can see internally?
Yeah, so as far as stress internally, certainly, you know, we talked about the external stuff with the barking, you know, could be accidents, chewing, things like that. But internally, certainly you could get GI issues. If you've ever boarded a pet, you know, that's certainly a common thing that can happen with stress is they have some gastrointestinal issues. Certainly they could have increased respiratory rate, whether that's, you know, shown as panting or just breathing really heavily, elevated heart rate. So things that we don't normally see. One of the most important ones, though, I think, is we don't really think about, you know, what it does internally to our immune system. Stress definitely has an effect on our immune system as well as our pets. So if we're already sick and we stress them out even more, we could have certainly some effects when that pet is trying to recover from their illness. We can certainly also get some metabolic changes as well. Sometimes stress, most typically in cats, you can see increased glucose levels with stress. So all stuff that we don't see that is going on internally, and I think that's one of the major things, but that's not what pet owners are accustomed to looking at. They're looking at all the outward behaviors.
It's so, you mentioned boarding, and at my hospital, Laguna Hills Animal Hospital, we have a very large boarding facility, and yes, one of the things we see so commonly, even when people bring in their own diets, we're not changing. I always tell people it's somewhat like you and I going on vacation. We may not get necessarily Montezuma's revenge, but our schedules are off. So here's our pets, and they love their routines. You wake up at 6:05, you get your cup of coffee, you take the dog for a walk, you know, the kitty gets fed breakfast, and now all of a sudden they're in a boarding situation. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm in a cage. I have all these other animals around me. Where's my mommy? Where's my daddy? And yes, they get themselves so freaked out. And I'll tell people when they sometimes will bring in their pet afterwards going, my pet was boarding and it came down with a cold and, you know, it's your fault, going, yes, it did happen while it was here, but it's like taking your human child who's been very healthy at home to daycare. And now it comes home with every bug under the sun because it's gotten a little bit stressed. So stress can cause a myriad of problems. We started at the intro of saying there were some nutraceuticals that could be used for this. Tell me about what your company is carrying now.
Yeah, so our product, Zilkeen, is a milk-based product, specifically from bovine milk or cow milk. What happens is there's a specific protein in milk called casein, and that casein goes through a process of what we call tryptic hydrolysis. And then the end product is alpha-casozepine. Alpha-casozepine...
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would roll off the tongue as well.
Yeah. Alpha-casozepine is an ingredient that helps calming the pet. So basically, you know, it helps with a pet to adapt naturally. And you were talking about, you know, issues that can cause a pet's ability to adapt. You were talking about that routine. This product helps them adapt, helps them get to those situations that are, you know, that may have an issue where they're not used to that situation. But it all comes back to putting them in a situation that's not normal for them, and then they can't adapt normally, so this helps them get through that. How the product was brought about was researchers were interested into why babies were calm after nursing. So they finally figured out that, you know, in the end, alpha-casozepine is the reason for that calming. And they do digest with trypsin early on in life, not throughout their whole life. So when they would ingest that milk, they were digesting that casein with trypsin and getting that end product of alpha-casozepine. So it's not necessarily they have a full belly, the milk is soothing, things like that. But there is a property in there that scientists figured out that has a calming effect.
I think it's fabulous because here is such a natural product going back to something that's already been happening in the body, so we're not adding anything as a heavy-duty pharmaceutical into this to try to calm a pet. But I know some people will say, oh, milk gives my pet the heartbreak of diarrhea, and you're trying to tell me this is going to help with GI upsets. How does this work that it doesn't cause a GI upset if you have pet does have lactose intolerance?
Yeah, so great that you brought that up. The product is lactose-free, and you know the reason why is because we're only isolating one protein from the milk, and that's casein, and we're removing everything else from it. So we don't have any of the other proteins that are in the milk besides the casein, none of the other sugars or anything like that. So being lactose-free, I don't know how many pets that you see that have an issue with lactose, but that is a concern, I believe, for a lot of owners, and if they've given milk to their pet, then it could be an issue. But then going through the tryptic hydrolysis, glycolysis, really the end product, getting a little bit more technical, is a decapeptide. So it really has minimal side effects in that regard. And if administered correctly, in some of the tox studies that we have done, showed that there were no ill side effects, actually administered 40 times the effective administration. So a very, very high administration level. And this was done in rats, and it actually improved cognition in rats. I don't recommend giving it that way, because it could be a little pricey to do that, but 40 times the administration level. But bottom line is, it's an extremely safe product, but doesn't mean that it's totally free of side effects. I mean, I think the most common thing, I mean, you kind of brought it up, is GI issues or gastrointestinal issues, but all the reports that we've had when that happens, and it's very, very minimal, is that once it's discontinued, they don't see any other issues with it.
I love it. I mean, no medication or no nutraceutical can ever be 100% side effect free. But you never know until you try it, and this may, Xelkine may be very much of assistance to a pet. I'm talking right now to Dr. Brian McLaughlin. We're talking about stressed out pets and a new nutraceutical on the market called Xelkine. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Dogs leave fur wherever they go. It collects all over the home. There are many tools designed to stop dog hair spreading, but their effectiveness varies, and afterwards you have to clean the tool, then the floor. With the Dyson Groom Tool, you simply deploy the bristles, then gently brush the coat. Loose fur is removed, while dead skin and allergens are captured by the vacuum. And to clean up, you simply release the trigger.
To get this awesome Dyson Groom Tool, go to DysonDeals.com. That's DysonDeals.com.
Hi, this is T.O.D. Anderson, and I'm the host of Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio. We're going to talk about a variety of topics on canine behavior and training, all based on modern methods that are fun for you and your dog. We might be talking about other critters, too. So join us on Get Positive Results. We'll talk about common issues between you and your dog, answer your questions, discuss different activities you can do with your dog, and keep you posted on current canine news and products. All this on Get Positive Results on Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. McLaughlin, thank you very much. I think this is such an important subject because so many people don't realize that their pets can be stressed, and that the signs they may see, which they think may just be naughty or drooling or barking like crazy when they're in the car, or that kitty that is just caterwauling when you're trying to take it to the veterinarian, or 4th of July and the pet's hiding under the bed. These can all be signs of stress. And we know we don't like to be stressed. You know, oftentimes we'll be reaching for things to self-medicate ourselves, like that beer or glass of wine. But here's something that is really very natural. So we're talking about stress. What can be some of the other long-term side effects? You were mentioning that you can use it for pets that may have, or I say long-term assistance. So you were mentioning some pets that seem to have cognitive dysfunction, kind of doggy Alzheimer's, kitties getting a bit demented. Will products like this assist them?
Yeah, well, not directly. It's not a product for cognitive dysfunction, but anything that would cause a pet to be nervous or be in a state of discontent, really it's there to support normal balanced behavior. So, and again, having that calming effect, but getting more specific, any short-term or long-term situation that can cause, you know, the pet to be nervous or discontent, specifically stuff that we do every day with our pets, and you see these guys taking car rides. I mean, I can tell you that my dog is a little nervous taking a car ride, so something like that. Visits to the veterinarian. We like the pets to like it when they come to the veterinarian, but we all
it
know
it is so much nicer, yes.
Yeah, that's not the case for probably, I don't know, the majority, I would say, of the pets, but, you know, some of them do, but there's a lot of them that they get really nervous when they come to the veterinarian. Noises, I mean, certainly is a huge thing that this could be used for in the short term. Visitors to the house, new people coming to the house that again, aren't part of that routine. Long term, you know, this product can be given for those long term situations. We talked about separation anxiety, a new pet in the home, a new person in the home. That's a long term situation. A new baby to the home. Certainly, a pet doesn't like that all the time and may not adapt well to that, and it may need some help.
They were the firstborn child. Now, all of a sudden, wait a minute, what do you mean there's this crying, stinky thing in the house, and I'm supposed to share?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that is a very common problem that, you know, maybe we just try to push through it, but I think a lot of these pets do need some help with that. Adoption certainly can be used for that. Lower urinary tract disease in cats certainly, again, has that behavior component to it. So a variety of things for short-term and long-term, you know, nervousness or discontent and just anything that can cause that, I think that we could try it with.
I love it from the fact that if you have that new puppy or new kitten that you're bringing into the home, especially, you know, it's that firstborn child and you're so excited to get it home and it used to be with its mom and its litter mates and now it's in this strange environment. That's tough on a puppy or a kitten. And then if you add, you know, screaming children running around the house and all these other things and you're trying to get it house trained and it thinks its name is No Bad Dog. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
That is a tough situation. The effect that you're going to see with Zelkine, is it going to be immediate? So I give the pill and half an hour later going, ah, calm dog, happy puppy, happy kitten. Is that what I'm going to be seeing?
Not an hour later, and that's a good point. And again, it takes about 1 to 2 days minimum to see a full effect. I mean, anecdotally, maybe it would work quicker than that, and that, you know, I have had that anecdotal evidence, but I'm always going to say 1 to 2 days. Certainly, if you know a situation is coming up, say you know you're going to the veterinarian, you know, next week, best to start it early as you can. You know, there's going to be those questions about thunderstorms as well. You know, those are unpredictable. I would say if there is an issue with that, then you're going to be attuned to the weather, and you're also, maybe if there's a thunderstorm season, maybe the product needs to be given during that whole season or, you know, along with other products as well, or getting into behavior modification and things like that. So to answer your question, 1 to 2 days to get the full effect, and I would recommend that. But, you know, given earlier, certainly is better.
You mentioned the situation, Dr. McLaughlin, of thunderstorms. So here's a situation. You're back in New Jersey, and you know this is going to last possibly for months, and you never know exactly when they're going to happen. So it's safe to keep the pet on Zelkine for an extended period of time?
So it is safe to keep them on it for an extended period of time. And I would say, you know, for the rest of the patient's life, you're not going to get a lot of those side effects that you get with other products, behavior products, specifically a lot of pharmaceuticals as far as drowsiness. Like we talked about, the GI issues, having to monitor things a lot with this product. Again, we go back to the safety of it. So to answer your question, yeah, it can be used long term and it can be stopped abruptly, though, too. We don't have to wean them off of it over a period of time. So those are all benefits of giving the product and knowing that it's extremely safe that way.
And you keep talking about safety, and there are many pets, you know, some older, young, whatever, that need to be on other medications. Maybe it is a seizure dog, or it's a pet that has a cardiac issue. And there are so many times I'm going to recommend, I have an itchy pet, for instance, and going to recommend a certain antihistamine or a certain medication, going, oh, no, there's contraindications. I can't use this medication with that. Are there those type of contraindications with Zelkine?
So no, there's not. To my knowledge, we don't have any reason to believe that it can't be given with other behavior products. And so no contraindication to giving it. And, you know, speaking of that, Zelkine can be used as a standalone product, which I think a lot in general practice, it would be indicated for that and used as a standalone product. When we get into, you know, some extreme behavior, some more chronic issues, A lot of the behaviorists or veterinary behaviorists use it as a layering product. So say they are adding, or the pet's already on Prozac or fluoxetine or maybe even another pharmaceutical, you could certainly add in Vilkeen to that regimen along with the behavior modification and the protocol that they set, and you know, add that in and feel free or feel safe that you're not going to get any ill side effects or reactions with that other product. So I think that's very important, that it can be used not just with other behavior products, but with, you know, say non-steroidals, antibiotics, and we're not going to get any ill side effects by using those together.
You brought up a very essential point that many times these pets are on a multifactorial regimen of trying to control their behavioral issues. So oftentimes people want, you know, that quick fix. They want that pill that's going to make everything seem better. But really, yep, the Zelkine is part of a whole regimen, that there's more that's needed. I'd love to have you address that it's not just the pill that's going to make all problems disappear.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, when we talk about behavior problems in pets, you know, there's three main things that should be incorporated when we evaluate that pet for a behavioral issue. So after we examine that pet, you know, have a diagnosis, do what we need to do as far as preliminary, whether that's blood work and whatnot, we need to look at three different areas to treat that pet. And one, the first one would be what we call environmental management. And speaking of that, what that is essentially is, you know, how is the pet's environment? What is there for the pet to do? Do they have, when we talk about cats, do they have enough litter boxes? Do they have a cat tree? Do they have something to play with? It could be as little as the pet has a safe place to go, a safe room, a kennel to go in that may not even have a closed door, but just a safe area to go to. It may be food toys that a dog needs to play with while you're not at home, or have some sort of interaction. So that's when we talk about environmental management. Certainly that needs to be addressed when we have a diagnosis of a behavioral issue. Secondly would be behavior modification. I've mentioned that a few times in our conversation. And this is something that involves desensitization and counterconditioning. So techniques to get that pet to maybe move to a more normal behavior in a slow amount of time. That's not going to happen overnight. And this takes a lot of effort, I think, you know, not only by the veterinarian to kind of plan this out for the owner, but it takes a lot of effort for the owner, or maybe it even goes to a behaviorist that, or a technician that helps them with that behavior modification. So it can involve training as well, but more along the lines of what we talk about, counter conditioning, desensitization, things like that. But last but not least, and you mentioned that it's not just the medication, you get to them and everything will be better. And I think that's, you brought up a good point in the fact that that is a misconception, I think, with behavior and pets. And, you know, really, I think this is kind of the third thing that needs to be added in after the first two have been addressed. Sometimes we use a couple of these categories. Sometimes we use all three of them. And then the medication, like you said, involves nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals, the difference being one requires a prescription, the other one doesn't. So there is a lot to it, and it's not just throwing, like you said, a medication at them and, hey, it's going to be better. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to get these pets to revert, and then it takes consistency after that as well. So very complicated, but certainly something that can be done.
And it's so important, because I know there are numbers that behaviorists, board-certified veterinary behaviorists, have said that behavioral issues, not infectious diseases, are the number one cause of death of dogs under 3 years of age. So many people go, oh, I got this cute puppy. It's driving me crazy after 2 years. That's it. Take it back to the shelter. In reality, there are things that can be done, and too many times people aren't aware of it. Here's this medication, or this nutraceutical, I should say, Zilkeen. It sounds like, oh, giving a pill to a cat or trying to get a pill down a pet every day can be so horrid. How is Zilkeen administered?
Yeah, so Zilkeen, it comes in a capsule form. Specifically, people will want to know this, so that it is a vegetable-based capsule. But it's designed to be opened up and sprinkled out on the food and given that way. I mean, if you've ever tried to give a capsule or a tablet to a cat, you know how that is. So we're trying not to not cause them more grief by giving them a product. We're trying to cause less grief. So the easiest way we can give it is to sprinkle it on the food. It is water soluble, so we could dissolve it in water as well, but I think the easiest way is just to mix it into the food. Very easy to give that way, not an offensive taste, and I think you'll see that you won't have too much pushback on from your pet about administering the product on the food.
And this is a product oftentimes people say, oh, I'm just going to go online because I know, you know, my pet has been peeing in the house and it's just been a naughty dog. So it must be separation anxiety and I'm just going to order this online. I never recommend things like that because it could be an indication of maybe there's kidney disease or the pet's a diabetic and why it's now lost its house training. If somebody wants a product like Zilkeen, where can they purchase it?
So Zilkeen is available through your veterinarian, and it should only be used after a complete consult and diagnosis and a plan from your veterinarian or veterinary behaviorist. You know, I think you bring up a good point in the fact that we shouldn't just be, again, throwing medications at them and really, you know, getting to the bottom of things. There could be something else that's going on. It may not just be the behavior component of it. So there could be some other systemic issues with your pet. So can't stress enough that we need to have a veterinary consultation and then have the veterinarian tell you about the product, whether it's Zilkeen or any other product out on the market, and explain how to use it, when to use it, when to stop using it, and whatnot. I think that's extremely important. This stuff can, not necessarily Zilkeen, but these behavior issues can be very dangerous, and they can get worse in a hurry. So we want to make sure that we're on top of it and that we're administering things correctly.
Dr. McLaughlin, where can people learn more about Zilkeen other than from their veterinarian?
You can go online at VetaKeenAllUSA.com. It has all of our products on there, but specifically, I believe, if you pull up the front page, you'll see Zilkeen right on the front page, and you can find out more information there. And then certainly, if you don't have what you need there, ask your veterinarian, and they can certainly explain some things. And I would be happy to talk to anyone as well, or our customer service would as well, with VetaKeenAllUSA.
Vetekino, in case you can't in your mind think of, how would I spell that? V as in Victor, E-T-O-Q-U-I-N-O-L. We'll also have it on our website. I'm always resistant to say that, going, did I say it properly? Vetequinol.
Yep.
So Dr. Brian McLaughlin, thank you very much for being with us today. I think this is an important subject, but hopefully people will realize they're not just being naughty. Maybe there is an issue. Talk to your veterinarian about it.
Yep.
Thank you very much for being with us today. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Please listen again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Dr. McLaughlin, thank you very much for being with us.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.